Where you were broken, God will build you up. Amen. Where the enemy looked at you, I'm going to break you here. God said the very place that they broke you, Jeremiah 13, as you read 17, I will restore health and healing to you. Amen. Yes, that's what God is doing for some of you here, sitting here. Amen. I said we serve a good God. Amen. He is a good God. We looked at the fatherhood of God this week. And the Greek word for fatherhood is pater. And it means what? Someone who nourishes. God is going to nourish you. Yeah. It means protector. God is protecting you. Hallelujah. It means upholder. Your God is going to uphold you. Yeah. Instead of that shame. What makes you think that God has put a sentence of failure over your life? That is the voice of the adversary. And you know, he will use people to speak this over you all the time. He will use people to speak this over you all the time. That is the voice of the adversary. Don't receive it. When God is doing you good, they are cursing, they're angry, they're mad. That's not a good spirit. God is a good God. He will pick you out of nothing, nowhere, and put you where he knows you rightfully belong. All you have to do is to be in agreement with him. Make up your mind you're going to obey God. Make up your mind you're going to serve him. My prayer today, Father, I've said, God, if there's anything I need, Father, I just want to be faithful to you. That's my, I said, God, I want to be faithful. Lord, I want to be faithful. If there's a prayer Pastor Pat is praying now, Father, I want to be faithful to you. When you have the favor of God, everything else will follow. Some things you will not ask for because you have the favor of God. Doors just open. Hallelujah. When they see you, the doors just open. They just open. Is there any left in the house of Saul that I'll show him kindness? Don't leave this place feeling God hates you. Don't leave this place having your own plan. This is how it's going to be done. No. Just say, Lord, I rest in your love. Your word is that you are a father, a good father. You are a nourisher. You are a protector. Even if I'm going out of the way, I can trust you to help me. You will bring me back on the right path because my heart is to please you. Don't walk out of here with condemnation and anger and bitterness. No. Rejoice when somebody is rejoicing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Next time it will be your turn. Hallelujah. I will show kindness for Jonathan's sake. He remembers you. Hallelujah. The psalmist prayed a prayer in Psalm 40, 74 and verse 2. He said, remember your congregation of old. That is Israel. God remembers you. I'm here to tell you God remembers you. And God is looking for you to show you kindness. There are some ridiculous miracles in the Bible. Four lepers just get up and they say, hey, if we sit here, we die. Ah, can't tamarasia. If we sit here, we will die. He said, listen, we know our enemies are over there, but we know God is able to even turn our enemies for us. He said, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. He said, we are lepers. We are not accepted in our camp. But we know that God accepts us. I don't know what your status is, but I'm here to tell you, God accepts you anyway. He accepts you anyway. He accepts you anyway. And he wants to upgrade you, bring you higher up in him. Even as you submit to him. They said, we're dying. If we sit here, we'll die. There is no food in Israel. There's no food in Judah. The walls of Jerusalem are surrounded by the Babylonians. Ah, let's get up and do something. They garrisoned faith and they got up And the Bible says when they got up, God turned their footsteps into that of a mighty army. Listen, don't sit there and die. Listen, don't sit there. Don't sit there and die. Don't sit there and die. He said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. He said, the whole earth belongs to me. All the animals on the cattle on the thousand hills belongs to me. He said, if I'm hungry, I won't ask you for food. He is your father. He is the nourisher and the protector and the upholder. Don't hang your head down in shame. Lift up your head and know that your father wants you to succeed. He wants you to make it. Get up. Get up. Get up. Ridiculous miracle. This lepers got up. And God turned your footsteps. And we know the story. Overnight, the prophetic word came into materialization. Yes, wheat and barley was sold for nothing when they were eating their children. And a dove's dung was a delicacy. God turned their situation around. I'm here to tell you, nothing is impossible with God. God will turn your situation around. God is able. This is why his name is God. This is why he is God. He is God. He is God. He is not man. He is God. You heard my testimony last week. Yeah, he will do the same for you. He will do the same for you. He is not man. He will do the same for you. He remembers you. You are not forgotten. He said concerning Israel, he said, listen, I've set watchmen upon your walls. They will never hold your peace, day nor night. Listen, until your righteousness goes forth and your light burns and shines, goes forth for everybody to see that you people are the called of the Lord. He said watchmen, they will never stop praying. Do you know God has set watchmen over your life? You think it's only your prayer that is sustaining you? You know, this church has got an angel over it, and his assignment is to watch this church. And sometimes we think that we are the watchman. He is the watchman. Listen, he is the prior, the former watchman who never sleeps nor slumbers. There are people who are praying for you. The fact that you got up and came here today and even garrisons trying to pray shows you there's somebody who is praying for you. You are not on your own. We serve a faithful and a mighty God. He is showing you kindness. You will not live here with shame. No. You will live here, leave this place with your head lifted high. You know your position. Hallelujah. Give him no rest until he makes you a praise in the land. You know what he says? He said, I've got good plans for you. Remember the testimony I shared? Where somebody came on the train and he left me a paper and just walked out of the train. Jeremiah 29:11. That's God speaking to me. You know how it made me feel? Of all of these people on the train, a total stranger just put something in your hand and walks out of the train. God is saying, I'm on your case. I know the thoughts I think concerning you. God has good thoughts for you. He's got good plans for you. There's nobody that you must serve than him. He is a faithful God. He will help you, and that's right early. So we see David came and asked, is there anybody that I will show kindness? Oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody, by reason of the covenant, is there anybody that I will show kindness to because of Jonathan, my friend and my brother in the faith and in the kingdom of God? And verse 2 says, and there's one of the house of Saul, a servant, whose name was Ziba. You see, when Saul died, Jonathan died. You know, his son, as I said, because he became a fugitive. They were looking for him. He thought he was being looked for. So you know what? They threw him somewhere, far away land. And instead of him living in the palace, the place where he deserves to live, the servant of the house, with how many children? 15 sons and 20 servants had occupied the house. And said, Jonathan, you know what? David is looking for you. Mephibosheth, you know David is looking for you. Go, 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 go. If you stay here, they'll kill you. You know what? All he wanted to do was to do what? Dwell in the house. Today, God is going to move every Ziba who has unlawfully positioned themselves where God wants you blessed. I looked for the name Ziba. Do you know what it means? Ziba means a statue. a post. Hey. So he has positioned himself. You know, names are very significant. I don't want to go ahead of myself. I want to take verse by verse. But the name Ziba means a post, a statue. And sometimes you have a statue. Position itself in your heritage, in your inheritance. You have somebody take your position. When the thing belongs to you, it's not as if it belongs to them. Do you understand? The thing belongs to you, and another can position themselves in that place, and you can't even have the honor and the dignity that you're supposed to have. Today, deliverance is here for God's people. As you believe it, because my prayer was that God today shows somebody kindness, and I know God hears and answers prayer. He shows you kindness. And there was one of the house of Saul, a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Are you Ziba?" Today, God is confronting all the Zibas in our lives. In this season, in this season, in this season, there are seasonal blessings. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 5, at a season, the angel of the Lord will come and will stir up the pool. And whoever stepped in first received your miracle. Today, step in and receive your miracle in the mighty name of Jesus. And let every Ziba. I'm not saying the thing doesn't belong to you. The thing belongs to you. Amen. I'm not talking about you competing with somebody. Amen. The thing belongs to you. Amen. And you have been displaced. So when the honor comes, it's like you have to explain yourself all the time. Because you're a woman, you have to explain yourself all the time. Because you are black, you have to explain yourself all the time. Oh, somebody can walk into a church and say, "We are looking for the pastor," and walk right past you because you're a woman. Because they don't have lady pastors in their church. Not only that, the thing belongs to you. Another can step in. And when they step in, they take all the honor, the dignity that you're supposed to have. Mephibosheth, that's the son of Saul. I've gone ahead. But David came and confronted the Ziba of Saul's house. And I'm here to declare to you that the Ziba in your house, in your ancestry, in your workplace, in your college, in your church, wherever it is, today God steps in and confronts the Zebras that are in your life. The enemy always takes advantage of our weaknesses and positions himself in our blessings. So what is rightfully ours, we cannot enjoy. That is not your portion in Jesus' name. Today the king has come, hallelujah, and it's come with deliverance, hallelujah. Verse 3, and the king said, "Is there any yet in the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him?" He didn't come for the servant, do you understand? He didn't come for anybody else. So the covenant was still speaking, hallelujah. When Abel was killed, God said to Cain, "Cain, listen to me. The blood of your brother is still speaking from the grave. It's still speaking." When Saul killed the Gibeonites, the Bible says rain was withheld for 3 years and more, even though David was an anointed man of God. And he inquired, he said, because of the covenant, because a covenant was cut. We have a covenant with Christ Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is still speaking. As I was meditating on this, you know why? The Bible tells us even after the church is raptured, the everlasting gospel will still be preached by angels. The Bible says angels will be running with the gospel, spreading the gospel and preaching to the unbelievers who are left. Why? Because the covenant blood of Jesus is still speaking. Do you understand? The blood of Jesus is still speaking. Souls must be saved. The blood of Jesus is not to be in vain. Is there any? And he said, and Ziba said unto the king, sadly, hallelujah. Yeah, his days are over. Hallelujah. Tell the enemy your days are over. Your days are over. Hey. He said, and Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Oh, what a lame excuse. You understand? The enemy is not satisfied. You know, when God is glorifying you, the enemy can know, "Oh, well, she's this, but you know, she has this problem." Is there? Does he have a son? That's all the king asks. You know what? He looked at the king answered and said, yes, he has a son, but he's lame on his feet. Doesn't matter if he's lame on his feet. The king is just looking for that person. The enemy always wants to describe you with your weaknesses. Oh, she's a strong preacher, but she has this. Oh, she has a strong voice, but look at this. Oh, she's this, but look at that. Oh, he's this, but look at that. He has a son, but he's lame. God is coming with extraordinary kindness, nevertheless. Whether you are lame on your feet or not, what you don't deserve, God is bringing your way. God is confronting the Zebes one way or the other. Those who have unrighteously positioned themselves like a statue in your blessing, God is dealing with them. Hallelujah. Your dignity must come to you. If you're a parent, your dignity must come to you. If you're a minister, your dignity must come to you. If you're a leader, your dignity must come to you. Nobody must take a leader's dignity. Nobody must take a parent's dignity. No, you shouldn't. Nobody must take a boss's dignity. It is God who gave it to them. Anybody who likes to take the dignity of authority, that person has an issue and you must watch out. You must never do that. Always uphold authority. When you learn how to uphold authority, authority will come to you. When you talk authority down, you never get authority. You want authority? Promote authority. If it's an unrighteous authority, let God deal with it. Yes, God is able. Nothing misses the eye of God. Never talk authority down. The enemy is sitting in there and said, that thing is yours, but you can't have it. I will stay there. I'll take the honor. I'll take the honor. You know, sometimes you watch people as you go along in ministry and in life. God will give you opportunity to watch people. And there are people who know how to cover, do you understand? And promote your dignity. There are others who will sit in it and relish and put you somewhere. It's not a good spirit, do you understand? You must never do that, hallelujah. We must never do that. Give honor to whom honor is due. It's when you do that, God will bring your honor to you. Do you understand? The enemy is a slanderer. And what it does is it capitalizes on your weaknesses. He's lame on his feet. He's always misrepresenting us, God's people. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And he's there before God accusing, you know, God's people. He went before God and said, have you seen your servant Job? This and this and that. If you haven't done this for him, he would never save you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's always looking for something that you've done wrong so that he can use it against you. So your lameness could be what? Your weaknesses, the circumstances in your life, the difficulties, the challenges. You know, there are people who are really blessed, but because of their circumstances, they can't really manifest the glory of God. When people see them, they see that this person is unique. When they hear them, there's something, you have something unusual. But then when they come around them, they look at them, you find that the circumstances around the person is dictating otherwise. No, greatness is in them. But whatever is around them is stopping them from manifesting that greatness. And that's what the enemy does. He will use your weaknesses against you. Circumstances, difficulties, challenges. They are not supposed to define you. But that can obscure your true identity. But today I declare that whatever the lameness is, there is healing in the mighty name of Jesus. There is healing in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not be defined by your flaws. The way God has made you is the way people will receive you. Hallelujah. Learn to give honor to whom honor is due. Don't relish in somebody else's honor. When it's time for them to be honored, learn what it means to honor them. Don't try and put yourself there. It's not right. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of Ziba. One day I said I'll write something called, are you a Ziba? Are you an Absalom? Or are you a Joab? Hallelujah. You know, the Joabs, you can't do without them. And yet, you know who Joab is? David's army commander. You need your army commanders, you know, because they can rally the people. You need the anointing of God to overcome the Joabs. Or you need the wisdom of Solomon to overcome them. So when he got to a point, he said, Solomon, my son, I'm going. But you know, don't forget. Put this man to tribute. He made life very horrible for me. Hallelujah. And you know, the Absaloms too, they are dangerous. They are there, you are there, your children. that they take the glory instead of the glory coming to you. They position themselves. If I am the king, if I am the leader, if I am put in this position, the way I will do it, before the people get to you, they've gotten to them. The Bible says he sits. Oh, hallelujah. It sounds funny, but it's true. We are people. And the Bible defines us. Everything we read in the Bible is listen, there is nothing new under the sun. Human beings, we haven't changed. Except that technology has advanced. We are the same. The things we read in the Old Testament, we see them happening today. Absalom will sit at the door, and his own father who brought him forth out of his loins. And when the people are coming, bring your matter. You know what? I would deal with it better than if you are like that, you are at your workplace. And when your boss turns your back, you are gossiping. It's a bad spirit. You team up with your workers against the one who is the leader. If he's a bad leader, leave him with God. Or leave her with God. Don't team up with the people. And then you see the person who is the superintendent or the superior coming in. And then, you know, they'll give you some looks. You know, especially women. They'll give you some looks. It's like you are there, but we haven't seen you. And they'll walk past you, right past you. And then they'll look at the other person. And then, you know, they'll intensify that. No, you, that is not your portion. You are a child of God. Wherever you go, there is light. You bring the you stand between the living and the dead. And you make intercession. Don't join the unbelievers against your boss. Your boss could be a bad person, but that is not you. One of the things you should not tolerate is disloyalty. When you sense a bit of disloyalty in a person, you stay away. Me, I can't handle it. It's too much work for me. You know, I have a lot to handle. When I sense disloyalty, or when you sense disloyalty, you have to watch out. Stay away and allow the people, give them room to grow. Disloyalty is a terrible thing. That's the spirit of Absalom. And the spirit of Ziba is when something belongs to somebody. They know that it's not theirs. But how can I get the glory? It's the person's day. Oh, I'll position myself. Everybody must see me. When is the other person's glory? That's the spirit of Ziba. And it's not a good thing. I'm Ziba. I have 15 sons, 20 servants. Magnify themselves in somebody's blessing. You know, the Lord uses so many things to teach us. One day I was looking at the map of Israel, and I noticed that the tribe of Simeon actually dwells in the tribe of Judah. Just like the grafting. In other words, Simeon survived because of Judah. Ziba had become like that. Positioned themselves. I bet he was saying, to hell with the family of Saul. It's time for me and my children to relish in the glory. It's not just this. We'll take it. But the king is on his way. Hallelujah. Amen. He comes in and says to Ziba, is there anybody? And the king said to him, where is he? Even if he's lame on his feet, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. Lodebar, Lodebar. Lodebar. I'm sure you've heard about the sons of, or the daughters of Zelophehad. I'm sure you've heard about Manasseh and Ephraim. You know, Manasseh was the older one, but his blessing went to his brother Ephraim. And it's like the syndrome just keep, you know, replicating itself as it went through the generations. So here we see Saul and his son Benjamin, his son Jonathan, his son Mephibosheth, now has been taken from the place of blessing, Jerusalem. You know, whenever you're talking about Jerusalem, as I said, we always say we're going up. Hallelujah. Because that is the dwelling place of God. Now, the enemy's plan is that I will take those who deserve to dwell in Jerusalem and take them far away. In fact, if you look at it evangelistically, the whole world is dwelling in Lodebar. The word Lodebar means a place where it's like it's dry, a place of desolation, a place that lacks moisture, a place that is broken. It's like a desert. And many times our lives are like that. Even though we are the princes, even though we are the princesses, even though we are the priests, even though we are the heirs of the blessing of God, it's like we're living in Lodebar. It brings to mind also where he said, it is, you know, incongruous for, you know, servants to sit on horses' back and what? And kings and princes to walk. Oh, did you get me? Many times that is what it's like. You look at the whole world, and God's people are supposed to have the upper hand. seem to be the, you know, the underdogs, and everybody is walking over them. So you know what? Ziba had decided that, listen, David will kill you. And because David will kill you, that was his ploy. Go and stay in Lodibar. Go to a place where nobody knows you. You know, a pastureless land, a desert, a desolate place, a place that is even forgotten of the map. You can't even remember. When you think about places, Lodibar is nowhere you think of. Threw him there. But today God is delivering his people from Lodibar. Many of us have that Lodibar syndrome. We don't feel we deserve any good thing. When something good is coming to us, or God does us good, we wake up and we pinch ourselves. God, is it me? And we try to find out, God, what can I do to keep this thing? God says, no, I love you and I gave it to you. I did it for you, not because you qualify. I did it because, not because you think that you deserve it. I did it because I love you. Threw him to Lodibar. Forgotten. Today God is fetching his people from Lodibar. The Lodibar mentality is a syndrome that many, many carry. I don't deserve to be in Jerusalem. I don't deserve the best of God. Thank you.